This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. With another 60 minutes of radio drama from the golden age of radio, this is the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me again this Tuesday. We're going to start off this time with Luke Slaughter of Tombstone, an episode titled Yancey's Pride from March 9th, 1958. And it's a quick Incredible But True and Letter to a Friend. We'll finish off with Bogart and Bacall in Bold Venture. This episode's titled Russian Roulette, first aired October 4th, 1952.
Slaughter's my name, Luke Slaughter. Cattle's my business. It's a tough business. It's big business. I got a big stake in it. And there's no man west of the Rio Grande big enough to take it from me.
Luke Slaughter of Tombstone. Luke Slaughter of Tombstone, Civil War cavalryman turned Arizona cattleman. Across the territory, from Yuma to Fort Defiance, from Flagstaff to the Huachucas, and below the border through Chihuahua and Sonora, his name was respected, or feared, depending on which side of the law you were on. Man of vision, man of legend, Luke Slaughter of Tombstone.
Like a violent storm or an earthquake. You can feel a lynching coming on long before it arrives. And there was lynch in the air that afternoon in Tombstone.
Well, if you gents is so uncommon concerned over a few rustlers, why don't you catch them same as I do?
Hello, Sutton.
Afternoon, Slaughter.
I got me one in jail right now. My boys picked him up red-handed last night.
You wanted to see me?
Yeah, we may be in for trouble. Listen.
There's only one thing good enough for rustlers, I say, and that's hanging. I caught me one, and that's what's going to happen to him.
McArdle!
Huh? Well, looky here. Two stalwarts of the Cattlemen's Association. You gents gonna come around to the courthouse and see the fun?
What fun, McArdle?
What fun? Why, ain't you heard? My wranglers caught a rustler on my spread last night. Caught him red-handed, butchering a yearling. We're gonna hang him this afternoon.
It's not up to the judge.
The judge? Why, this is a plain case of out-and-out law-breaking, and I aim to see justice done.
When is the trial?
The trial. Oh, yeah. The trial is going to be at 2 o'clock. And all you gents is invited. Come on, everybody. Let's go to the
See what I mean, Slaughter?
Yeah, I do, Sutton. We'd better go to the courthouse and see to it that McArdle doesn't do something we'll all have to answer for.
Court will now come to order. The deputy will bring in the prisoner.
Say, Sutton.
What is it, Slaughter?
I think I know that man.
What's your name?
Yancey Bell.
I do know him.
You know the charge? Cattle rustling. Now, how do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
Neither one.
Well, you gotta plead one or the other.
Well, I don't.
Who's the plaintiff in this case?
Why, you know dang well I am, Judge. And he pleads guilty. My men caught him butchering a yearling with my brand on it and my property. Now, come on, let's get this over with.
Hold your horses, McArdle.
I ain't holding no horses. You make your decision so us law-abiding people can string this hombre up.
Well, a man's entitled to a fair trial.
Well, he's getting it. Now, come on, say it.
Your Honor.
Slaughter, you stay out of this.
Your Honor, I know this man. Hello, Yancey.
Luke. Luke Slaughter.
It's been a long time since Vicksburg. I recognized you even without the cavalry uniform.
What is this?
I'll tell you what it is, McCardle. This man and I soldiered together in the Illinois cavalry during the war. Unless he's changed a lot since those days, he's not a thief.
You're butting into my business, Slaughter.
This is a public trial, McCardle. And I'm taking on the job of this man's attorney. Any objections, Your Honor?
No.
Now tell the court, Yancey. Did you butcher that yearling?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Why?
Because I was hungry. I don't know this part of the country, and I didn't know I was so close to town.
You intend to pay for it?
I would have if there'd been anybody to pay.
Do you have any money?
I had $500 Mexican until last night.
What happened to it?
The men who jumped me took it.
That's a lie! A lie! You going to take the word of a stranger against my man?
Being a stranger doesn't make him a liar. He's not a stranger to me, McCardle. Now, what do you figure that yearling was worth?
What's that got to do with it?
I'm going to pay for it and request the court to release the accused.
What?
$15. That ought to cover it.
You can't do that.
I am doing it. If the court so pleases.
Yes. Under the circumstances, restitution having been made and motive explained.
What? Are you going to let this thief and rustler go?
Yes. Yes, I am.
I put you on that bench, Judge, and I'm going to take you off of it. You can't get away with this.
And this is a court of law, Mr. McCardle. You cannot intimidate the bench with threats. Case dismissed.
Why, you...
Thank you, Luke. Thank you.
I'm staying down at the San Jose house, Yancey. Let's get your stuff and go down there so we can talk in private.
You'll pay for this, Slaughter.
I already have. $15. Come on, Yancey.
Oh, this feels good. I haven't been on a bed in over 2 weeks.
You weren't on a bed for 2 years during the war.
Yeah, that's right. You realize it's been nearly 15 years?
Yeah. We were kids then, Yancey. Greenhorn kids. What have you been doing since?
Went east for a while, New York. Big town was too much for me, though. Finally went home to Quincy a couple of years back, and I got married.
That too much for you, too?
She died 6 months ago in childbirth. Kid died, too.
I'm sorry, Yancey.
So that's why I come out here. Starting all over again, you might call it. How about you, Luke?
Well, cattle's been my business since the war. Kansas, Texas, Tombstone.
You must be mighty big in these parts. That was quite a show you put on in the courtroom.
No, you were getting a raw deal.
You mind if I take my boots off? Feet are kind of swelled in.
No, go ahead. Stretch out. You're welcome to anything I've got till you get organized.
That's mighty nice of you, Luke. Especially since I've been cleaned.
Yeah, that's the least I could do. I remember a sniper one night about 4 weeks into the siege of Vicksburg. And what you did about him.
That's long ago, Luke. Forget it.
Man doesn't forget things like that. Hey, you've lost a spur.
Yeah, those Jaspers weren't very polite when they jumped me last night.
Took 500 Mexican silver, huh?
Yep. I aim to get it back, though.
Well, I'll handle that for you. You just take it easy. I got some work to do over at the Cattle Association office. Yancey, you aren't leaving anything out on this yearling butchering, are you?
When I get ready to lie to you, I'll let you know in advance, Luke.
Yeah. Well, you'll get some rest. I'll be back about supper time. Hold it, Sutton.
Oh, I was just closing the office.
Well, I'll close up later. I want to check on the bills of sale on that last herd I brought up from Texas.
Yeah, all right. See, that was quite a stunt you pulled in court today.
Well, the way I figured it, Yancey Bell was being railroaded. I would have stopped that even if I didn't know him.
Yeah, some of the boys thought you was taking a little too much into your own hands.
Wasn't that just what McCardle was trying to do?
Yeah, I suppose so. But how do you know he's innocent?
He says so.
Yeah. Well, I think I'll tie on the feed bag. See you later.
So long, Sutton.
Slaughter! He's Slaughter! Slaughter, wake up! Wake up!
Come on, Sutton. I must have dozed off. Say, what time is it, anyway?
Time? Why, it's almost 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. I forgot all about supper.
Slaughter, listen to me.
What are you so all fired upset about?
There's been a shooting at the Crabtree Livery Stable, right next to the San Jose house where you're staying.
Who got shot?
Drake McCardle.
In a moment, Luke Slaughter of Tombstone returns. A trio of rough-and-ready prospectors make trouble for our frontier gentleman, J.B. Kendall, in his next dramatic exploit on CBS Radio. The trouble starts when a young hitchhiker, whom Kendall has picked up, discovers gold. For more Western thrills, stay with us on CBS Radio right after Luke Slaughter, as most of these same stations bring you another exciting adventure with our frontier gentleman. And now, Act Two of William N. Robeson's production of Luke Slaughter of Tombstone.
Excuse me. Let me through.
Let me through there.
Hello, Slaughter.
Hello, Sheriff.
I've been wondering if you'd show up. Let me see your gun.
What for?
Seems to me you'd know the answer to that. There was bad blood between McCardle and you, wasn't there?
Here, look at it.
Uh-huh. Well, it ain't been fired. Or it's been cleaned awful fast.
That gun hasn't been out of its holster all day.
All right, all right. Now, you know anything about this?
I only heard about it 5 minutes ago, Sheriff. When did it happen?
About an hour ago.
Where's the body?
Inside the livery stable there.
Is that where it happened?
You're asking an awful lot of questions, Slaughter.
Now, let's get one thing straight, Sheriff. I'm as interested in who committed this murder as you are. Maybe even more so. If I get him before you do, I'll turn him over to you.
All right, all right. Why, you cattlemen can't leave things to the law.
Where did it happen?
Right here in the alley, in front of the livery stable.
Anybody see it?
Jack Crabtree, the owner of the stable. Hey, Jack!
Yeah, Sheriff?
You come here. This gent wants to know what you've seen.
All right, I'll tell him. I sure will. Oh, hello there, Mr. Slaughter. Missed the fun, didn't you? Well, darnedest thing I ever saw. I was telling the sheriff and the boys here.
Just tell me what happened, Jack.
Well, I was sitting back there by the harness rack working on a snaffle bit. And I heard somebody singing out here in the alley. You know how a man will sing when he's had a couple of snorts. Appeared from the sound that he was coming in. About that time, I looked up, but I couldn't see very well because it was dark, and I was back inside there under the lantern, you see? Then the singing stopped, and somebody said, Drake, I'm going to kill you. Then it was a shot, and McCardle fell right here. Of course, I didn't know it was McCardle then.
You know who made the threat?
Nope, don't. I doused the lantern in a hurry because I was a setting duck, you see? Then I got down behind a bale of hay and waited.
You hear anything else?
Just one thing. A man a sobbing. Oh, it's an awful thing to hear a man sob. Well, I got up then, come out here, and looked around real cautious like. 'Twas nobody in the alley except in Drake McCardle's body. That's when I ran to get the sheriff.
Thank you, Jack.
You reckon you know who did it?
That's my job, Jack. You just give me the information. I'll take care of finding the killer.
Well, sure, Sheriff, sure. Well, that's all I know.
Jack, would you recognize that voice if you heard it again?
Well, Now, that's a good question. A good question. Because when a man says, I'm going to kill you, he don't use a voice like he was saying, give me a glass of beer. It's a real, it's a real strange. Strange, if you know what I mean. It makes you shiver, kind of.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
Slaughter, where's that friend of yours? That rustler you bought out of jail this afternoon.
He's not a rustler, Sheriff. I don't know where he is right now. But I'll find him. And if I think he did this, I'll turn him over to you.
Where are you going?
Up to my room. Wash up and get some supper. Any objections?
Don't try to leave town.
Don't worry.
Hello, Luke. You missed the excitement.
You know about it.
Couldn't very well help it. Quite a commotion out there in the alley.
How come you didn't go out and join the crowd?
Well, I look at it this way. I'm new here and none too popular with the law and some of the people. Somebody might jump to conclusions. Figured I'd just stay out of it.
I see you're cleaning your gun, Yancey.
Mm-hmm.
You mind if I take a look at it?
Yes, Luke, I mind.
Why?
Because a man's gun is his own business. Unless he's done something wrong with it.
Have you?
Depends on how you look at it.
Yancey, I want to see that gun.
Then you'll have to take it away from me, Luke.
Give it to me.
No.
I said give it to me. This gun's been fired recently, Yancey.
I didn't say it hadn't.
Did you kill Drake McCardle?
It isn't the question you're asking, Luke. It's the way you're asking it. I'm not going to answer you.
I'm trying to help you, Yancey. I'm trying to help you.
Then you'll have to find some other way to do it. I told you, when I get ready to lie, I'll let you know in advance.
You crazy fool!
I thought you was going out for some supper.
I'm changing my mind, Sheriff. You have anything new on the killing?
I'm working on it, Slaughter. I'm working on it. Ain't very much to go on so far.
Well, what about McCardle's enemies?
Oh, he had lots of them. He was a pretty bull-headed man. If he couldn't get his way by asking for it, he got it by force.
I know that. You know of anything that happened today that'd make somebody want to shoot him?
Well, you're about the best man to answer that question. You beat him out in court, and he didn't like it at all.
Did you turn up any clues in the alley next to the body?
Clues?
Well, empty cartridges, footprints, anything like that?
Yeah, there were some cartridges, but there was old ones. As for footprints, with all them people milling around afterwards, there was lots of them.
Nothing at all, hmm?
One thing. Might not mean nothing at all. Again, it might. This.
Broken spur.
Yeah. Well, I see you got both yours, so that lets you out. But when I find the man who's missing one, I sure want to talk to him.
Can I borrow that for a little while?
What for?
I saw a man with one spur missing today. This might make two missing.
Just point him out to me.
No, Sheriff, this is my play. I'll make it alone.
We had one killing. We don't want another.
There won't be, if I can help it. Yancey! Yancey! Now what? Hey, Pop!
Hmm? Oh, yeah, Mr. Slaughter.
You've been on duty all evening?
Oh, yeah, ever since supper.
That man I brought in with me this afternoon, Yancey Bell. Did you see him go out?
Mm-hmm. About 10, 15 minutes ago.
Did he say where he was going?
Well, he asked me was there a place to get drunk, good and drunk. I told him he could do that most anywhere, but that the Crystal Palace was the biggest saloon in town.
Did he go there?
Well, I can't say. He just headed out the door. Say, he looked awful, like he'd been in a fight or something.
He had. He may be in another one. Where'd you get the money to buy that liquor, Yancey?
Hello, Luke. Have a drink.
Where'd you get the money?
I got it.
Where?
From the people who owed it to me. Here, help yourself.
Did you take it by force?
You might say that. But it was mine in the first place.
Let me see your spurs, Yancey.
Spurs? What for?
Just let me look.
Sure.
You were missing one this afternoon. Now you're missing two.
Sure am.
Does that one fit where the left one's broken off?
Can't tell without trying, can we? Let's see. Yeah, it fits. Where'd you find it?
In the alley, back of the San Jose house, near Drake McCardle's body.
I guess it must have broken off there.
Then you were in the alley.
Luke, it's customary for a man to put his horse up at the stable nearest to his hotel. Sure, I was in that alley.
Yancey, let me have your gun. I'm going to turn you over to the sheriff.
You're going too far, Luke. A man's entitled to his privacy and his pride, and you're going too far.
I'm taking you in.
No, you're not.
Drop your gun belt, Yancey.
I'm warning you, Luke. I'll shoot. Now make your play.
You want to know who killed McCardle? I'll tell you who killed him.
It's the judge.
Drunker than a hoodah. You can't push a man around forever, I told him. A man's got some rights. A man can be pushed so far, and I did his dirty work for him. I was covering up for his rustling. And the first decent thing I do, letting that fellow off, he has his riders jump me and beat me up. And I told him, I said to him, Drake, I'm going to kill you. And he didn't think I could do it, but I did. I did it. Just like this. He was mean, and he deserved it. I didn't.
Easy, Judge. It's all over now.
I'll take him slow.
All right, Sheriff.
Come on, Judge.
Yancey.
Yeah, Luke.
I made a mistake.
A man can't always be right, Luke. I understand.
Thanks.
Now, about my gun and this money.
No, you don't have to tell me. Like you said, a man's entitled to his privacy.
I want to tell you. I was out east of town late this afternoon practicing on rattlesnakes. When one of the hands that jumped me last night came along. I guess I got a little mad. He had $20 on him, so I took that on deposit.
Why were you practicing shooting?
Because no man living can call me a cattle rustler. If the judge hadn't gotten him first, I'd have killed McCardle.
Was it that important to you?
Pride's a real funny thing, Luke. I guess I don't have to tell you that.
No, I guess not. Can I buy you a drink, Yancey?
Now, that would make me right happy, Luke. And then I'm going to buy you one.
Luke Slaughter of Tombstone, starring Sam Buffington, was written by Alan Botzer with editorial supervision by Tom Hanley and directed by William N. Robeson. Supporting Mr. Buffington were Lou Merrill, Howard McNear, Barney Phillips, Sam Edwards, Junius Matthews, and Norm Alden. Music composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Next week at this time, we return with...
Slaughter's the name. Luke Slaughter. When we meet up again, you can call me that. Luke Slaughter.
Now stay tuned for Frontier Gentlemen, which follows immediately over most of these same stations. This is the CBS Radio Network.
The experience of the Reverend C.C. Wambi of Marlcombe Hill is scarcely unique in the annals of the strange and the incredible. In fact, what is impressive is the number of times which similar experiences have occurred, and we can only regard them, in view of their frequency, as proof that science still has much to explain.
It was the Reverend Wambi's custom to stroll from 6 to 7 each evening across the downs that skirted Marlcombe Hill. It had been his intention on this particular summer evening in the year 1874 to prepare his next sermon as he walked. But scarcely had he started out when he realized that he had overlooked another highly important duty.
August it is. Then August 22nd is just the day after tomorrow. Well, now how could I have forgotten good old Wingate's birthday?
This would have been the first time in more than 30 years that the Reverend Wambi had failed to remember the birthday of that friend of his childhood, Dr. Bartley Wingate. In a moment, his sermon was forgotten, and he was absorbed in the task of composing his congratulatory message.
You, my dear Wingate, are one of the few men in London, indeed in the whole world, who really should be congratulated on reaching your age. Our view, one says, lucky Wingate. He's only 68. I think he'll like that.
I doubt if he will, Reverend. Why waste your time writing to a dead man?
The voice that spoke these strange, sinister words could not have been more than 2 feet away. And yet there was no one near him. There was not even a tree within 20 yards behind which a man might hide.
I must have imagined it. Let me see now. Where was I? Oh, yes. Lucky Wingate. He's only 68.
Dead men don't. Read letters.
This time, the Reverend Wambi did not pause to investigate. Instead, he turned his footsteps hurriedly toward home. That night, after dinner, he finished the letter and posted it without further interruption. But during the remainder of the week, he thought of the strange occurrence frequently. And then, on the following Saturday, there was an envelope in the mailbox, bearing a London postmark and his friend's return address. The Reverend breathed a sigh of relief.
Well... how stupid I was to worry. I was very tired that evening. I probably dreamed the whole affair. Well, let's see what good old Wingate has to say.
Whereupon the Reverend tore open the envelope and removed its contents. It contained another envelope and a small sheet of paper. As the Reverend read the message on the paper, his face grew pale and his eyes widened with horror.
We are returning your letter unopened. We regret to inform you that Dr. Wingate passed quietly away at 6 p.m. on the evening of August 20th.
Yes, at the moment that Reverend Wambi walked across the downs composing his letter, at the moment that he heard the solemn, insistent voice, at that very moment, the life of Dr. Bartley Wingate came to an end. This is only one of the more impressive of the thousands of stories of those who have, by some mysterious intuition, known of the death of someone among their family or friends. And it, like all the others, remains simply a story. Incredible, but true.
Bold Venture. Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart.
and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean. Bold Venture. Magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of mystery and intrigue.
Where are you, Slate?
Stop yelling in my ear. I'm right beside you. Did you find the candles?
Where you told me, in the pantry under C. I knocked over the Brussels sprouts under B to get them.
Serves you right. I told you to put the Brussels sprouts under S. Hold still till I light them. Yeah, that's a little better.
All the lines are down, huh?
Telephone is in. That's about all.
Oh, there goes that hotel sign again. It's always falling down.
Yeah, ever since the last time you sang in the shower.
I'll get it. Quickly, come on in. Out there, it's wet. Come in so I can close the door. You're going to have to register by candlelight, miss. The management isn't trying to be romantic. It's just that the electricity is out.
Who are you? Where is this?
What's the matter with you?
Tell me, where?
Slate. Slate, come here. Look at her, Slate.
What do you think I'm doing?
Hold your candle up to her.
Yeah. Tell me when my hand catches on fire. Nice rain we're having, isn't it, miss?
Don't come near me. Don't come near me.
Slate, watch her. She's got a gun.
Oh. Hey, take it easy. You little fool, drop that gun.
Your hand. Take them off. They're
drop it, I said. Oh. Okay, sis. You made a good entrance. Now tell me why you did. Well, me or the cops?
Cut it out, Slate. Can't you see she's sick? We better get a doctor.
When a girl roams around in a storm with a gun, she needs a cop.
This time we'll do it my way. We'll get a doctor.
Mr. Bentley! Let me in! Mr. Bentley!
What's the matter, Amy? Oh. Don't make you edgy. Make you want to go prowling?
Judith's gone.
Hey, get in here. Hey, you're fooling me about Judith being gone, ain't you? You know you don't need no crazy excuse like that to come talk to me any time of the day or night. You're fooling, huh?
No. I looked all over the main house in every room, every place she could hide. She's just disappeared.
And you're her nurse, ain't you, Amy? You were supposed to watch over my fiancée, Miss Judith, like she was a crawling baby.
I must have fallen asleep. We'll find her. All we have to do is call the police. Tell them that she's sick.
And let Miss Judith cry and moan and wail on the shoulder, spill out what we've been trying to do to her for the past year.
Well, they won't believe her. It'll just prove she's unbalanced. She's sick in her mind.
Just a little bit longer, a little bit. And I'd have had control of her sugar plantation, her money, the whole shebang. Me, just an ordinary boy from the country with a knack for managing. And you fell asleep.
I'll find her for you. You'll see, I'll find her.
Sure you will.
And they'll put her away. And it'll be just you and me. Just the way you wanted, the way you planned.
You sure fancy yourself, don't you, Amy? John Bentley speaking.
This is Slate Shannon. The girl came into my place a while ago.
You're lucky, mister. I just lost one.
Maybe this one belongs to you, then. Judith Harper. This phone number, Eldorado 13...
You get acquainted fast, mister.
We found it in her purse. She wandered in here sick with a gun, tried to shoot me. We got a doctor. If she's yours, maybe you better come and get her.
Sure thing, mister. Just tell me where.
Shannon's place on the waterfront.
I'll send her nurse, mister. Because my Miss Judith is sicker than you know.
Someone found her.
She's at Shannon's place on the waterfront. You're so lucky, Amy. You just don't know how lucky you are.
John, I...
Get her. Bring her back to me. I don't care how. Just bring her back.
I have talked to the young lady, senor, senorita.
How is she, doctor?
Buena, very good. Quiet. She's tip-top.
That medical talk confuses me. An hour ago, that girl was ready to fall on her face.
A few seconds before that, she was ready to shoot me.
I don't blame her. Then you were her mortal enemy.
I always thought I looked pretty rakish by candlelight.
I meant to talk to you about that, Slade.
Hear me, senor. This girl is pursued by a fear. The fear of going insane. I have the fragments of the story.
And we want to hear it. Beautiful girl like that, sick, terrified.
He's trying to say he wants to help, Doctor.
And the young lady needs whatever help. Now that she has told me of herself, it is my guess she will recover quickly.
Recover from what?
I will not bore you with technical phrases. This girl is frightened of what is at home. She must not be sent back there.
Now, wait a minute, Doctor. I can't take care of her. I got enough with this one.
Perhaps.
Look, Doc, if you think I'm going to fade out of the picture on account of her, you've got a silly little cerebellum. Cerebellum, Doc. I said it, and I'm glad.
I am suggesting merely a place of rest. I know of one.
Yeah, so do I. On Marino Key, there's a place there, kind of a hotel. People go there when they feel they've been in the world too much. It's a... Now, wait a minute. What can I do for you?
Where is she? Where's Judith Harper?
Who are you?
I'm a nurse. Where's Judith?
She's in that room. Don't worry about it. The doctor said she'd be all right.
I don't care what the doctor said. I want to see her.
All right. Hello, Judith. Someone wants to see you.
Get her out of here. Get her out.
I'll teach you to talk to me like that.
To me?
Hey, have you gone out of your mind? Leave her alone.
Get out of here, you.
I said get...
You're all through saying. Let's go.
Fool.
I said we're leaving. See, we just did.
You don't know what you're doing.
And you don't know what's happening to you. You're getting thrown out of a hotel. Good night, nurse.
About ready to shove off, Slate?
Just about. Give me a hand with this line.
Aye, aye. Got it.
How's the girl?
She's asleep below. I tucked her in.
Well, I told you I'd take care of that.
And that's why I tucked her in.
I don't know about you, sailor. Sometimes I get the feeling you're possessive.
She shot at you once because you wanted to touch her.
Well, she was out of her mind. Besides, she missed.
But I'm not, and I wouldn't miss. And for the same reason.
Yeah, that's what I said. You tucked her in good like I told you, huh?
Soothed her fevered brow, hummed a lullaby, mentioned your name. Can we go now?
Yeah. Take the wheel, sailor. I'm going to go below to check in a few...
Hey! Hey, you, mister! Hold it up a minute!
Sorry, Buster, we're...
Hey!
The reason I yelled hold it up is you may not be going no place. I thought I'd tell you.
You told me. Now you can get off the boat.
You're a cute one, Mr. Shannon. You throw Miss Judith's nurse away from her. Now you're going to throw me off the boat.
That's my slate. He ain't partial to no one, never.
I told you on the phone, Shannon, Miss Judith is sick. She goes home with me where she belongs, where she gets healed by my love.
The doctor said she...
Pardon me for interrupting, lady, but what's a doctor say against the opinion of my big fist?
You've got a point there, Buster.
Maybe I can dull it for you. Yeah. You're just crying for it, ain't you, Shannon?
Your fist wasn't big enough.
Get off me!
A big boy like you.
You didn't ask him if he could swim, Slate.
He'll learn. Let's go to Marino Key, sailor. Comfortable, Judith?
Yes. So wonderful here, sitting on the deck. The ocean and the air.
There isn't much that combination can't cure.
I want to apologize to you, Mr. Shannon.
But taking a shot at me, forget it. If it didn't happen at least once a week.
Hey, sailor, what's the matter with you? You let her fall into the trough.
Look to starboard, Slate. Over there, those clouds.
Oh, yeah. Black squall.
You better get below, Judith.
I don't mind. I like the rain.
Here comes, Slate. Looks like a real
one. Come on, Judith, below.
Steady as she goes, sailor.
She's okay, Slate. I just fixed her something hot to drink.
A nice rest cure we're giving her.
You know, I think she's liking it. She... Hey, Slate, what's happening? Look at the compass.
Your prying eye. Yeah, sailor, the rudder's broke. I think we hit a slab of driftwood.
You mean we've been drifting all this time?
The last 15 minutes. Now look ahead, sailor.
Lights?
Uh-huh. If this current holds, we'll get through the channel between them.
Where are we?
Someplace in Marino Key. Only these lights aren't marked on the chart. I don't know who we can thank for them.
Maybe we'll find out. Watch that tide rip.
You all right, sailor?
What happened?
As far as I can make out, we're aground on a reef.
But the lights?
They put us there. Better go see about Judith. Tell her to get comfortable all over again. I got an idea. We're going to stay here for a while. The tide's out now. We can walk to shore along this reef. Think you can make it all right, Judith?
I think so. I feel wonderful.
I could carry you.
You heard her. She feels wonderful.
Here, Judith. I'll give you a hand over the side.
What about me?
Just don't rip your jeans. You left your other pair home.
That's about me.
We're lucky the storm only lasted the night. If it had gone on any longer, the Bold Venture would have been beaten to death against those rocks.
You check her, Slate?
Yeah, just a few scars. All we need is a new propeller and a new rudder. Maybe I can bite one out of that palm tree.
Why not just ask the man for one?
Huh?
The man standing underneath the palm tree, waving hello to us. I'll bet he's got lots of used propellers.
Welcome. Welcome. Thrice welcome to my island.
Look, you, whoever you are.
Charles Dane is whoever I am. And whoever you are, I am delighted the sharks did not smell you out during the night.
You shill for sharks?
Only for myself, dear one. And now you may kiss the sands of my island. Or you have found a refuge.
Well, that's good, because...
Because it's a refuge you will never want to leave. Welcome.
Venture. Our stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
You see, dear ones, all the delicacies of civilization without its penalties. These rare books, these exquisite paintings, the gossamer objects of art. My last guests admired them deeply.
All loot from shipwrecks you arranged with those lights, Charlie.
Not loot, dear one. Let us say, rather, the spoils of fortune. These perfumes, Mr. Val, a fragile twilight fragrance at your disposal during your stay.
I like the one you're wearing, Charlie.
You have discerning taste. We shall get along famously, we two. And this radio. I hope it has music that becomes you, Mr. Val.
What do you think, Charlie? Does it become me?
A tawdry substitute, dear one. Your music should be of impassioned space, of fiery gardens, of...
Easy, boy, easy. Heel, boy.
Quite right. I mustn't overdo you. Yes, what is it, brother? Oh, you may come whisper in my ear. Thank you, brother. Prado informs me that Miss Harper is quite comfortable in the guest room and that your boat has been floated and tied up at my private pier.
Which brings us to the question of...
Please, Mr. Shannon, I care to hear this.
Senorita Judith Harper, owner of the vast sugar plantation on the outskirts of Havana, has disappeared. Any knowledge of her whereabouts is to be communicated to her plantation manager, Senor John Bentley.
Mr. Shannon, my deepest bow to you. You are a kindred soul. I pirate ships, you...
Judith's a sick girl. We were taking her to Merino Key so she could rest, so she could get well. If she goes back, she'll have a relapse. She'll...
You can stop now, Slate. Charlie's not listening.
Come, Mr. Shannon. I want to show you a thing. Come.
Don't go away, sailor.
The thing. A shortwave radio transmitter. My contact with the other lonely souls of this world.
You going to get word to Bentley after what we told you?
Precisely. I believe Bentley should be with us. For the game.
Oh, what game?
A precious game. A delightful game. A game that could possibly... kill you.
Mr. Shannon! Hello! Hi, Mr. Shannon.
I've been trying to attract your attention.
To be honest with you, Charlie, I was hoping you'd never make it.
Have I done anything to affront you?
Now, let's put it this way. How am I going to get this propeller repaired? And how long do we have to stay on this island?
And I shall answer you. Of the propeller? Well, some time ago, there was an almost identical storm such as this. And an almost identical boat as yours pounded itself against the identical reef.
Oh, is the name of that boat the Capri?
The identical name.
Reported missing in a squall 3 months ago. Never heard from. What happened to the man on that boat?
Which brings us to the second question. When shall you leave here? Never, I'm afraid.
Now look, friend, I asked you a civil question. So I want a nice, clear answer.
Please to note, you're soiling my linens, Mr. Shannon.
And please to note...
Well done, Prado. Prado watches over me, Mr. Shannon. And when you touch me, his hackles rise. And if you will, sir, you might cast a glance out there, seaward.
Another boat.
In haste to answer my message to Havana. Well, have no fear. The tide is in. The boat will not crash on the reef. Now, do try to look more neat for dinner. Good afternoon, sir.
Aren't you grateful to Mr. Dane, honey, that he got word to me? So I could come and take you back with me in the boat.
Don't touch me. Keep away from me.
How can you say things like that, honey?
You don't want me. You want the plantation and the money and that woman.
Honey, just by saying things like that proves you ain't well in your mind. That's why I just got to take you back.
But not before we have our dinner, Mr. Bentley.
What are you doing in here?
Two things. One, eavesdropping because I thrive on it. And second, inviting you to dinner. I thrive on that, too.
I'm taking her out of here now.
I don't think so. I'm afraid you have no choice, Mr. Bentley. You like games, Miss Harper? You haven't tasted the roast pheasant, Miss Harper.
I don't care for any.
But you should eat, my child. I've heard you've been ill.
Leave her alone.
Hey, sailor, you want that pheasant giblet?
I'll trade you for the neck.
Hey, Charlie.
Yes, Mr. Shannon?
The rye bread.
Save me the heel, Slate.
You people have fine appetites. I'm happy for you.
I've got to hand it to you, Charlie. You serve a fine blue plate.
Por favor, senor. How many will there be for dessert?
We shall see. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have enjoyed my humble board. And now, the pièce de résistance. I give you a game.
Here, here.
Slate, you've been dying to say that ever since you saw that British picture.
A game, ladies and gentlemen, with this revolver I have here in my hand. Russian roulette.
Oh, hey, you really are crazy, Charlie. That game can be fatal.
As I told you, it could be. 6 chambers in this revolver, but 1 bullet. Each of you shall spin the chamber, place the gun to your head, pull the trigger.
So help me, Dane.
Hush, sir. Or Prado will shoot you in the back. Now, shall we play so that Prado can signal the cook how many there will be for dessert? You first, Miss Harper. Take the gun. Thank you. Now, spin the chamber. Just so. Of course, you may close your eyes, my dear. I congratulate you. Mr. Val, if you please.
I'll keep my eyes on you, Slate.
All right, sailor.
You'll be with me another day, Mr. Val. I am thankful. Please pass the gun to Mr. Shannon.
Always pass a gun, but first, sailor. Hi, sailor.
I'm thankful, Slate.
Now, please pass the gun to Mr. Bentley.
You're crazy, all of you. I'm not going to have any part of this. All of you out of your mind.
Otto!
All right, give me the gun.
I'm pleased, Miss Harper. Mr. Bentley shot himself dead, and it amused you, too. I pronounce the dinner a success. May we have another try tomorrow?
Mr. Dane.
Yes?
I've been waiting for this chance to see you alone.
It sends a delicious thrill through me.
I've never known a man like you.
Of course you haven't, dear one.
I wanted to go on. If you sent Slade away, it could be any way you wanted it. Whatever you...
What a pathetic effort. And ludicrous. To waste your feminine guile so on me.
It didn't do anything to you, huh, Charlie? I must be slipping.
With any other man, you would have had a brilliant triumph. With me, I am a man of small pleasures, Mr. Val. Not you or anything will deny me my childish game. Beat it, dear one. Now it's your turn, Miss Harper. Give her the revolver, Shannon.
Yeah. It's 1 in 6, Judith.
I don't think it matters very much. We all die.
The approaching storm makes you moody, Miss Harper. Play. It will pass. Bravo. Well done. 3 days and you all still survive. However, there is still tomorrow. 4 for dessert, Prado.
To work, Mr. Shannon, Miss Duval. Take them out on the reef, Prado.
Si, senor.
You're lagging, Miss Duval. Come, come, those lanterns aren't that heavy.
Why don't you light up your own shipwrecks, Charlie?
Don't worry about your conscience, dear one. It won't be with you very long.
Okay, Prado, take the gun out of my back. I'm walking.
But walk faster. You too, senorita.
I shall wait here and observe. Hurry back, dear ones. I'm desolate without you.
Aquí. Put a lantern here. Bueno. Adelaide. Move.
What a racket this Charlie has. Arranging these lights to make it look like a clear channel.
Aquí. Here. A lantern.
Sailor.
I can't hear you. Speak up.
After we set down the next lantern, slip, fall, grab Prado.
You too. No whisper. Here, a lantern.
Give me a hand, Prado.
Si, senorita. My pleasure.
You're wrong, kid. It's mine.
Senor Dane! Senor Dane!
You said the wrong thing, Prado.
Now what?
Now what is? We've got his gun.
What's the matter, Prado? What's wrong? Prado!
Get out of the way, sailor.
Out of the way is in the water.
That's right. Get in it. It's not deep. Just hold on to that rock.
Prado!
Quick, sailor.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to be a hero. Get in that ocean.
Did you get Prado, Shannon?
I got him.
My congratulations, sir. Does it hurt, Shannon? Where? In the stomach? Or did I get you? Oh!
It hurt, didn't it, Charlie, for a time? It doesn't hurt anymore, does it? Sailor!
I heard you cry out when Charlie shot.
What do you do when a bullet creases your skull?
I run to somebody so I can put my head on his shoulder.
Lend me a shoulder, sailor. I got just the head for you.
Lean on me, Slade. I'll see you get home. Slate, a postcard from the rest home on Merino Key. Judith is doing fine.
Yeah, look at the P.S. She wishes we were there.
I guess she figures we need a rest.
You want to go?
I might.
Why don't you? Nothing keeping you here.
Yes, there is.
Me?
Uh-uh. I'm waiting for the man from the grocery store. I ordered a couple dozen candles in case the lights go out again.
What's the matter? You afraid of the dark? You don't know what to do?
What's to do?
This. That's what to do. Hey, where are you going?
The fuse box. Something's wrong with these lights.
What's wrong with them? They're on.
That's what's wrong, Slate. Nothing ever happens till the lights go out.
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. may we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Relic Radio Show. I'll be back next Tuesday with something from The Voyage of the Scarlet Queen and John Steele Adventurer. Two little adventures for us next Tuesday. But until then, you can visit relicradio.com, find past episodes of this show, all the shows, links to subscribe, find our forum, Facebook page, Shoutcast stream, everything. It's all at relicradio.com. Also find a donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the Relic Radio shows. I appreciate it if you're able to help. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. I'll be back next week with a brand new hour of old-time radio on the Relic Radio Show.